New year, doing a couple of weeks on change. How does one become the kind of person one ought to be? How do you live the kind of life you ought to live? Last week, we talked about changes that we should make. We talked about how Scripture assures us that for every person, they reap what they sow. So it's important for us to recognize that we reap seeds that we sow. And we want to learn to sow good seed. So one of the changes we should perhaps make is, what seed do you want to put in the ground for 2018? Do you want the same harvest as you've got before? Sow the same seeds. You want a different harvest? Sow different seeds. And we also talked about just learning the lesson. The Lord sends things our way. He sends trials, sends tests. He disciplines us. So learn the lesson. Be trained by the discipline. Be refined by the trial. Let it produce in us those things that the Lord intends. So just where should you just learn the lesson? The Lord keeps banging your door. Just learn the lesson. Be trained by the discipline. You're trying to make him fall in line. He will wait until you fall in line. So seeds that we should sow, knowing that we reap what we sow, and just when things the Lord sends things our way as his children, you just have to accept and receive what he sent and learn the lesson. Be refined by the trial. This week, I want to go back to what John says Christmas made possible. John says that Christmas made it possible to see something. Christmas made it possible for us to behold something. When the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, we could see something. We could behold the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So John says that is what Christmas made possible, to see the glory of the only begotten. So I want to ask, what difference does that make? What difference does seeing the glory of the only begotten of the Father make? Okay, I've seen it. Full of us all, full of grace and truth. What difference does that make? That's what I want to explore today. So to begin, I want you to suppose that Christianity was available online at Costco. You could purchase Christianity at Costco.com. Of course, when you went to the page, you'd need to see some type of flyer. You would need a product description. See if you're going to purchase this thing. See if you're going to order it. You need some type of promotion. Suppose at Costco.com, where you could get Christianity, suppose the product description, suppose the promotion was this: God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So that's the product description. If you order it, this is what you'll get. This product comes to you from God. From a God who likes to shine light into darkness. And you purchase this product, it will shine light on you. It will give to you the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. $355 delivered after $45 off. So if that was available at Costco.com, would you be tempted to order it? Would you say, "Wow, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ for $355? Put it in my cart." Or would you say, "Why would you pay that much for something like that? For $355, I would want something that helped me fulfill my own potential. I would want something for $355 that helped me discover the real me, the true Roger. For that amount of money, I would want something more helpful for my life, something more relevant to my situation. I would want something that would make me more successful or more effective. I want something that would help me improve my relationship skills. I'm having some challenges in my relationships. For $355, I would want something that could promise improvement in my relationship skills. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ for $355. Why would you want that? For that kind of money, I would want it to teach me about myself, not just about God. I trust you recognize it's very easy to be more interested in a promise of light that illuminates me and shows forth my glory. If that was the promotional, that was the product description, it'll illuminate yourself. Roger, you'll get to know the true Roger. You'll realize the potential that Roger can attain to. It'll help you be all that you can be. For $355, that's a deal. Get that. I like something that would illuminate me and my glory. I don't know if I'd be interested in light that just illuminates God and his glory. I trust he's big and he's good and probably has glory, but would I spend $355 to see it? So here is a very, very great secret. It's not light revealing yourself and your glory that is needed by you or is needed by me. Rather, your need and my need is for light so that you can see God and you can see his glory. That's our need. And if you see him and if you see his glory, that will transform you, will transform me, will transform all of us. I've often wondered about, perhaps you have too, I've struggled with, what helps people change? What helps people truly, really change? I mean, you can go on Google after the service and Google, is change possible? And you'll get a whole bunch of responses. Some people say yes, some people will say no. But a lot of people say, you are what you are. And time just reveals who you really are, you don't change. It just is what it is. But there's a whole discussions, from academic, philosophical, theoretical discussions to practical discussions. Can you really change? Does anybody really change? So I struggle with what makes people change? Or stronger than that, what causes people to change? What can help the bitter person become sweet? How does the depressed person change to be joyful? How does that happen? How does the angry person become glad? What warms up the cold person? What can cause the greedy person to be satisfied and content? What can really cause that to happen? How does the self-absorbed person become interested genuinely in others? How does that happen? How does a person who loves pleasure become a lover of God? What changes a liar into somebody who speaks truthfully? What helps a stubborn person become one who is agreeable and peaceful? All of us know people who remain unchanged even after many, many years. Greed and stubbornness were getting them in trouble 25 years ago. It's still getting them in trouble. Anger has been hindering relationships in that person's life for as long as you can remember. The desire to feel important has hounded him for years. never change. All he wants to do is feel important. All she ever wanted was to get her way. She wanted that in her family. She wanted that with her husband. She wanted that in her job. She wanted that with her kids. She wants that with her friends. She's only happy when she gets her way. That's what she wants. That's all she's ever wanted, is to get her own way. All of us know people, often to great personal loss and detriment, and broken relationships and estrangement. They've had the same problem for years and they don't change. John says that when the Word became flesh, we could behold the glory of the only begotten of the Father. The Apostle Paul says this happens if you see that glory. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Apostle Paul says, you see that glory that John says Christmas made possible? You behold such glory, it transforms you. It changes you. The word there in Greek is metamorphosis, change in form. It's what caterpillars do when they transform into butterflies. They undergo metamorphosis. They change their form. It's used in the scripture about Jesus at the transfiguration. Jesus goes up on the mountain and he's metamorphosized. His face shines like the sun. His garments glow. If you could see Jesus at that moment, you would have said, you're not from around here, are you? He's changed in form. That word is used in two places about people changing. Both of them are used by the Apostle Paul. It's in Romans 12, where we're encouraged not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewal of our mind, so that we can prove what is the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. So Romans 12 tells us you're only transformed, you're only changed by the renewal of your mind. What you have stuck in your head has to change for you to be transformed. If what's stuck in your head doesn't change, you won't be transformed. And then the other place is right here in 2 Corinthians 3. That when you see the glory of God, it causes metamorphosis, causes transformation, causes change. Often our human perspective is we think the key to transformation is seeing ourselves clearly. Scripture's perspective is that the key to transformation, the key to change, is seeing God clearly. The key to change is not know thyself. One of the fundamental perspectives underlying all of Western civilization is know thyself. It was on one of the temples, one of the Greek temples. But the key to transformation is not know thyself. The key to transformation is see God's glory. See God clearly. The key to change is know God. So knowing God is key. But it's not easy to know Him. He's invisible, for one. And He dwells in light inaccessible. But what happened at Christmas made it possible to see His glory. I'm not sure I can explain very well how or why seeing the glory of God transforms us. I don't know if I can explain, in that sense, the mechanics of this verse. When you behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, why that causes metamorphosis in you and me. I don't know if I... There's a lot of mystery in that, a lot of wonder. It's wonderful that that happens. So I can't explain very well, perhaps, why it works. Part of the explanation is that there's power in the Lord's glory, transforming. Knowing yourself is not key to transformation because there's no power in it. You might know that you're a cold fish. You maybe went to a counselor and the counselor says you're a cold fish. The reason you're a cold fish is because you grew up in a home where your dad didn't hug you enough. Your mom was preoccupied with other concerns, so you had a sterile environment in your home, so you're a cold fish. And your third grade teacher, she didn't like you. She ignored you, so you turned out to be a cold fish for all those reasons. But such knowledge gives no power whatsoever to no longer be a cold fish. There's no power in it. But there is power in the glory of the Lord. You can't behold it without it changing you. It's like it's radioactive or something like that. You get close, it will change you. You can't get close to it and remain in the way that you were. There's power there. So that's part of the explanation of why it works. I think part of the explanation is also that just seeing God, knowing God, is that you touch the well from which everything else flows. A few weeks ago when we were talking about John, I imagined a situation where I was angry at you for something. So you've offended me somehow, you've done something to make me mad at you, a slight or an offense or something, so I'm mad at you. But if at that moment you could take angry Roger and plunk him down in the middle of the Canadian Rockies, and then you say, Roger, what do you see? What do you see, Roger? What do you see, angry Roger? And I go, I see spectacular beauty. I see awesome and amazing sights. I see grandeur and majesty. So, Roger, how do you feel about that person you're mad at now? Oh, he's okay. In fact, no worries, really. In fact, if you see him, give him a hug for me. So what's happening? Just by the Canadian Rockies didn't tell me anything about you. Why did it help me in my anger to you? What's happening there? What's all that beauty and glory and majesty and splendor doing to me that somehow it's touching the anger that I have towards you? What's happening there? Well, I'm angry because of something that you did to me. Perceived or accurate or just made up on my own mind. Who knows? But I'm perceiving that you did something to me. Some injustice, some slight, some offense. So I'm mad at you. But from the Canadian Rockies, kind of, I get this abundance of beauty and wonder and goodness. It's, the Canadian Rockies is like this great wellspring. It just fills me up. And suddenly I don't have to worry about what you gave me. Rather, I have stuff I can give you. I just got filled up. I just stood in the Canadian Rockies and saw that stuff. It filled me up. Can't remember what you gave me, but I can give you something. When you see the glory of God, you experience this well from which everything flows. It's a well of grace. It's a well of truth. If you see His glory, and then you see somebody else, if I see the Lord's glory, and then I see Steve, my response is, Steve, I just saw the Lord. Let me give you something. He's full of grace and truth. I receive some of that fullness, grace upon grace. Here, have some grace. I've got tons of grace. I've got all this truth. Have some grace and truth. Just get filled up from the well. Filled up with those things that come from God Himself. Until you overflow and everything you touch, everyone you come in contact with. God, here I got grace for you. I got truth for you. I can give you something from what I've received from the well. So if you see God, if you see the sovereign Lord, the creator of all things, the judge of all, the creator and sustainer of yourself, of everybody else, of all of creation. If you see Him, and when you see His glory, you realize, you know what? He's full of grace and truth. That will transform you. You realize this is the ultimate well, and it's a well of grace. It's a well of truth. That will change you. If you're grasping and greedy, seeing that will change you to be content and generous. If you're harsh and demanding, just seeing that will cause you to be kind, transform you into somebody who's patient. I can wait. The ultimate well is full of grace and truth. If you're being kind of difficult, no big deal. I can be patient. If you're scared, it can make you secure, make you safe. Seeing that transforms us. So this from 1 John. Beloved, now we are children of God, and has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has his hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. So we see him now, but our seeing is partial. We see as in a mirror, darkly. But our partial seeings transform us. They change us from glory to glory. But there will come a day when you'll see him fully and clearly, directly, no longer in the mirror. And such seeing will change you, will change me to be fully like him. Just seeing him. You'll be like him because you'll see him as he is. You ever seen somebody living a certain way, acting a certain way, and you ask, why are you like that? Why do you do that? Why do you live like that? And the answer that you get is, well, you haven't seen my boss. You haven't seen my aunt. You haven't seen my neighbor. You haven't seen my wife, have you? If you knew him, if you knew her, then you would know why I am the way that I am. If you saw what a jerk my boss is, then you would know why I'm a jerk. If you saw how my spouse provokes me, you would know why I am so difficult at times. If your neighbor did to you what my neighbor did to me, you too would be bitter and mad. So that answer to the question of why are you like that? Why do you live like that? Is, well, if you had seen what I have seen, you would be like me. Then you would understand. Then you would know. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. That's a revelation of the Almighty God, who, if you're in doubt, is greater than your boss, your neighbor, your wife, your husband, your sister-in-law, greater than any Lord of all. It's a revelation of the Almighty God, the source and the wellspring of all things. And if you know that when you see him, you see something that's full of grace and truth. But that's the ultimate reality. It's the ultimate thing, God. And he's full of grace and full of truth. You need to see that. Of his fullness we have all received, grace upon grace. So you need to see that. If you do, you'll never be the same. It'll cause a change in form. It'll cause metamorphosis. Make you more like him. From glory to glory. And see a little more of him next week. Until you get that day when you see him without any mirrors, without any darkness, perfectly, fully, face to face. And you'll be like him. You'll see him as he is. And then if I asked you, why do you live like that? Why do you act that way? And the answer is simply, I don't know, I saw Jesus. I saw his glory. He explained God to me. And I've never been the same since. So in 2018, besides those things that we should do, the seed that you should sow, the lessons that you should learn that God sends your way, say, Lord, I want to see something. I want to behold what Christmas made possible. For I want with unveiled face to behold the glory of the Lord. And I'm okay if it changes me, if it transforms me. Let's pray together. Father, we see many things. We pray that you would give us the eyes to see the glory, your glory, and the one whom you sent, who became one of us and dwelt among us. Father, give us the eyes to see his glory. Give us the eyes to see the fullness of the grace and the truth that reveals you. Father, and as that light, as that grace, as that truth pours into us, as we receive of his fullness, we pray it would transform us. Father, that it would work in us to change. Father, that so eludes other human energy and human endeavor, human planning, human effort. That we would be changed by seeing you, by knowing you. Father, that you have made it possible, Father, for us to see such things about yourself is just amazing to us. So we would fix our eyes on Jesus. Father, help each person, I pray, in this room, Father, to walk this way, to live this way, to act in 2018 as one who has seen you. Through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.